Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I'd like the Pac-12 conference to be relevant. I'd like the football programs to be competitive. I'd like to be talking today about who's going to win the Pac-12 this year. Which four or five programs are going to have a shot to make the playoff? And truth is, we're stuck left wondering about what loyalty had to do with Mel Tucker's decision to leave Colorado. Some people choosing the Mel Tucker Hill to fight this battle. So it's about loyalty. It's about his word. It's about something else. You can tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT, and catch John Wilner here of the San Jose Mercury News, who will join the conversation. Let's start with Mel Tucker's word. How much of part of this equation is Mel Tucker's loyalty and word?
I mean, it's certainly he wouldn't have been the first coach to say thanks, but no thanks. I feel, you know, loyalty here. I've been in Colorado for 1 year. They gave me the chance of a lifetime. It's too soon for me to go. I mean, there are plenty of coaches have said that, but some other coaches have said, you know what, you're doubling my salary. Where do I sign?
Yeah, I've got a hard time with it because you want to double my salary and you want me to come work for you, Wilner? I'm probably there.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You know what I mean? I just don't understand why it's the people who are really angry at Mel Tucker. What are they really angry about?
Well, he is making $5 million. He has won five games. He's getting paid $1 million for every game that he has won in his career as a head coach. I would love to get paid $1 for every column I write. He's getting $1 million per victory. So it says a couple of things, right? I mean, Michigan State was desperate. That's part of the deal here, right? I mean, this is all about motivation. And they lost their head coach like day before signing day. And their number one choice, Luke Fickell over at Cincinnati, turned him down. Tucker is from Cleveland. He coached at Michigan State under Nick Saban. So there were some ties. They did whatever it took.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. I've heard some people today say, you know, look, let's look at the big picture. Is the Pac-12 in trouble in your mind?
I think it is in some trouble, yeah. I mean, I don't think that if you're looking out 20 or 25 years, I don't think it is necessarily doomed, but I think that there's a lot of headwinds. There's a lot of very serious challenges in the next 3, 5, 7 years, and the trend line is not necessarily favorable. But that's on a whole bunch of different levels, right? It's partly what's going on with the football field, partly what's going on in the conference office, partly what's going on, you know, in the minds of parents who don't want their kids to play football because of head trauma. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Colorado, what does Colorado do from here?
Well, I mean, they don't have a whole lot of leverage right now, right? I mean, they're desperate, and it's a tough time to be looking for a coach. I think they need to decide if they want to either promote from within or hire an alum. I mean, Eric Bieniemy's name is getting mentioned a lot, right? He's a hot assistant. He just worked with Patrick Mahomes and won a Super Bowl, and he's a CU All-American. So if he's interested, I'm sure they will have some conversations there. But they kind of need to figure out, do they want to have somebody who is either has ties to the school or ties to the region? Because I think that this is the latest example, and Oregon fans are going to, you know, they know, with Willie Taggart, you hire a coach who's from the East or the Midwest, and an opportunity comes up, they're going to be thinking long and hard about going back to where they're from. So if Colorado would improve its chances of hiring a long-term coach if they kind of target folks that are either from Colorado or from the West.
I see Mike Leach leave the conference. I see Chris Peterson throw in the towel. I see USC, you know, make a decision that maybe was rooted in a little bit of finances where they keep Helton and just hold on for a year before they have to make a decision. I see Tucker leave. Oregon State is giving Jonathan Smith more money. It looks like they're playing some defense, even though he only won five games. I'm watching that all go on, and amid it, I'm kind of wondering if there's something the Pac-12 can do to immediately infuse some revenue. Can they renegotiate the deal and say, look, we're not waiting till 2024. We're going to infuse some cash. Can they get paid up front so they can start being competitive?
They can. The question is, will they? And it doesn't seem like they want to. I mean, everything Larry Scott has said is that they're going to kind of hunker down. You know, if they could take on a partner, and you've written about this so well over the last, God, it's been 13 months basically now, right? If they find a partner who could help them with some strategy and provide some cash, I think they would take it. But obviously the right deal hasn't come along for them. And so now it certainly appears that they're just going to kind of go status quo for the next 4 years and not take cash up front. They had a deal. ESPN made an offer like a year and a half ago to take over the Pac-12 Network's distribution and to extend the conference's contract with ESPN into the 2030s. And Larry Scott said, thanks, but no thanks, because we don't want to get locked into a long-term deal. So they're playing, they're putting all their chips on the table for 2024, and we don't know how that's going to turn out.
John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group. I invited Larry Scott on the show. I was Andrew Walker, his spokesperson, said they're declining the offer to bring him on the show. It's been a couple years where we've all sort of known that there was a revenue shortfall. I guess one of the questions I would ask him if he would have come on is, you know, how do you change the narrative? Have you not changed the narrative because you can't change the narrative? Or is it that the CEO group just isn't as tuned in as maybe the SEC or the Big Ten to this being big business? Or what do you make of that? And also, bigger picture question. How much does the fact that the rabid fan bases in the Big Ten and the SEC drive so much of the interest at play here?
You know, I think that's part of it, right? So my thing with how responsible is Larry Scott for, say, the Mel Tucker situation, because Colorado didn't have the money to match Michigan State? I think he's partly responsible, but only partly, because the conference does have some natural headwinds, right? The alumni bases aren't as big as those in the SEC and Big Ten. There's not as many TV households in the footprint. You know, the stadiums aren't as big. The ticket sales aren't as great on Saturdays. So there are a bunch of natural obstacles, right? And that Larry Scott has nothing to do with. But at the same time, the conference does have some control over certain aspects. And when and in those regards, it can't afford to miss because of the trouble in the other areas, and the deficiencies in the other areas, the headwinds. They can't afford to miss on strategic decisions at the conference level. And from a business standpoint, the Pac-12 Networks is a pretty big miss. And that's affecting all these schools for 12 years, right? I mean, it's millions of dollars a year per school for 12 years. That is certainly having an impact.
John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group, at Wilner Hotline on Twitter. I'm going to say something that might not be popular with all of the listeners, but I think it's true. I think the current fiscal disadvantage, the financial disadvantage that the universities have versus their peers, benefits some schools in the conference maybe more than others. And I think Oregon is a real outlier, given that they've got Phil Knight, they have unusual support. That's an unusual circumstance. Do you make that correlation that dollars are harder to come by? Maybe Washington, Stanford, Utah, that's expanding their stadium, and Oregon are built better to withstand this?
No, I think that that's definitely true. Now, I think that it also, it kind of depends on how you define it, you know, what the parameters are. I think Arizona State could, you know, they'll spend as much money as they think they want to on some stuff. Stanford has more money than God. It's just a matter of whether they want to spend it. But no, there's no doubt that Oregon would be on the short list of schools that is whose marginal advantage over the average school in the conference is increasing. There's no doubt about that. And the Ducks are committed to football, right? Look at what they're paying Moorhead. Look at what they, you know, they have paid their defensive coordinators. They are in it to win it. And not every school has made that, can make that commitment and has made that commitment. So I think absolutely their advantage is expanding. It's a, Oregon has a better advantage, bigger advantage over generic school X in the Pac-12 now than it did 5 years ago.
Wilner, where does this end? Is this a, this is an ongoing thing between now and the next 5 years? We're going to watch the Pac-12 get poached for its top coaches and assistants. Or do you think there is a solution that happens, or is there a reclassification? Do we stop viewing the Pac-12 as a Power Five?
I mean, I think that's kind of already happened a little bit. I mean, Michigan State treated Colorado kind of like Washington State treated Hawaii in hiring Nick Rolovich, right? I mean, they treated Colorado like it was a Group of Five school, and we're just, you know what? We want your coach. We're gonna buy him. And there's nothing you can do to stop us. And if you match, we're going to then go higher. So that's a tough reality. But I think it, in a lot of ways, it is a reality. Now, I would say this, though, and I've written about it a lot, and I know a lot of Pac-12 fans don't want to hear it. But let's say USC is rolling, right? Let's say they got Urban Meyer, or let's say it's the Pete Carroll era success. The whole Pac-12 looks different if SC's got its act together in the most important sport, right? I mean, that's a blue blood. That is an Ohio State. That is an Alabama. And I think everything would feel different. Not everything would be different, but a lot of it would feel different if SC had its act together.
What's that going to take? Is Helton part of that? Is it a new coach?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? They've hired some good assistants. I mean, they just poached Dante Williams from the Ducks. SC treated Oregon like the way Oregon's been treating Washington State by Ray Leach's staff.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good coach. He's a good recruiter. And my guess is he's got a multi-year deal, and they're planning on having him in place even if Clay Helton gets fired in November. I don't know what's going to happen there, but they have improved. SC has improved their coaching staff, and they got like 18 starters back. And they're going to be a factor, but they're not, I don't think under Helton, they're going to be Ohio State level good, you know, 12 wins a year. And they could be. They have that potential. They did it 10 years ago, but they're never going to get to that point under Helton.
Wilner, you're the guy on the Pac-12. And I think when something like this happens, everybody wants to know, what does Wilner think? What is he saying about this? What does your phone look like? What kind of requests nationally? How many shows are you doing?
I'm Sundance. You're Butch, man. let's see. Well, I don't know. Today I've been on like four or five radio shows. It's the thing is that a lot of the people I know care about the Pac-12, whether they're alums or fans or, you know, they're just folks in the media, and it's just kind of everybody's kind of depressed, right? I mean, this deal with Mel Tucker, this is a big deal symbolically. It's a blow. It's a gut punch. And I think that the folks that I've heard from all kind of just feel that. They feel bad for Colorado, and they feel bad for the conference.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody wants the Pac-12 conference. I even think secretly down deep, if you're the Big Ten and you're the SEC, you want good competition. It's healthy for college football to have a Power Five that is a real Power Five, and we're just not there. The kinds of questions, it's interesting to me, because I did radio in different markets today, this morning as well, and it's just interesting to me the kind of questions that come up. I was asked about, you know, how important is it for USC to be a flagship? I was asked, you know, wasn't that original TV deal that Larry Scott did a pretty good deal. Where did it go awry? What kind of questions are you getting out of market?
Well, I got a lot of it was just a resource deal. You know, is this a is there anything the Pac-12 can do to stop this from happening again and again because they don't have as much money? And the answer is that it's a tough one. And it's not only tough at the head coaching level, it's tough at the coordinator and the assistant coaching level. I mean, you know, look at ASU. ASU just lost their defensive coordinator, Tony White, to Syracuse, you know? And money certainly was a part of it. And ASU lost a defensive line coach, Jamar Cain, to Oklahoma to be a defensive line coach. So it just, it's every level, right? The resources affect every level. And that's kind of a lot of the questions I've been getting is what can be done, right? I mean, there are not that many options. They're kind of backed into a corner. Unless something comes out of nowhere, they're backed into a corner.
Really interesting stuff. I really appreciate, you know, all the time that you give to us, and I know you come on frequently. My last question, you know, the Pac-12 network has been terrible for football, basketball, a lot of frustrated people. I kind of, in a weird way, and tell me if I'm crazy, think that it's actually benefited women's college basketball in the Pac-12.
Oh, no question about that. It's done more for women's college basketball in the conference than it has for anything else. It's the opposite impact on football and men's basketball, you know, because I think it's hurt, because I think the lack of exposure and the lack of revenue has hurt those two sports. But it's as bad as it's been for those, it's been great for women's basketball, because they, all those coaches can go to the recruits up and down the West Coast and throughout the, you know, the western third of the country, and they could say, come here, your family is going to be able to watch you play all the games, right? It's been huge for them. It's the opposite effect of what has happened with the major sports.
They got to get their brains on that and fix it in football. John Wilner, you're the best. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, my friend. I'll see you.
There he is, at Wilner Hotline on Twitter. Leave it here. Punch It Audio coming up top of the hour. It's the best sound from all around, including a highlight night from Zion Williamson. Blazers played a really good half last night and then just got railed by Zion Williamson and the Pelicans in the second half of that game. I was a little surprised by it. I'm curious. Blazers play Memphis tonight on the road. Memphis is nasty. I'm curious to see what will happen there. I don't like the Blazers' chances in Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason Memphis is a four-point favorite. And Terry Stotts is thinking the same thing. He pulled Lillard and McCollum with almost the entire fourth quarter to go.
Kind of rolled over there in that one. By the way, I got some news for you guys. Yesterday on the show, we talked about Rebecca Black. You know, the artist who sang this song. Told my 17-year-old that I was in contact with Rebecca Black, and she just lit up. She was like, Friday? Wait, they take too long to get to the chorus. This is the best part of the song. All right, bottom line, here's my news. Today's not Friday. It's Wednesday, right? It's depressing. Rebecca Black on Friday.
All right.
They were like, what day do you want her on? I said, whenever. How about Friday? Okay. Friday's good for me. She's really interesting because, you know, she became like an overnight sensation on YouTube. And then, of course, people on the internet are mean. They called her fat. They called her ugly. They said you shouldn't be on out here. And She was 13 years old and heard a lot of that. She's now relaunching her career, which is why she's kind of out there. I saw an interview she did on CNN, and she was pretty powerful. And I was like, I'd like to talk to her. Let's get her on the show. And in the back of my mind, whenever I have a conversation like that, like I hear her interviewed, and I'm like, okay, that voice just pops up in my head. Can't help it.
Get her on the show.
And I thought she'd be interesting because we've been having all these conversations about your devices, social media. Elon Musk came out and said Facebook sucks. Said you should delete your account. Adriana sent me a podcast she heard from a woman who wrote a book about, you know, being alone together. That's actually the title of the book. Fascinated by that. Why'd you send me that?
I had to listen to it for my class, for my meditation class. And I just thought it was really relevant to what we were talking about on the show with how we're going to raise kids in this type of climate. And it was talking about, in the podcast, it was talking about how we like to blame the kids for always being on their phone and not being in the moment and not paying enough attention. But it's also the parents, too. And it's like kind of a cycle. They see that behavior and then they kind of mimic that behavior. And neither side is giving enough attention and care.
I'm going to say something that's going to freak you guys out. I want you both to give me your phones for the rest of the show. How does that feel?
Terrible.
It makes you uncomfortable. You ever lose your phone?
Yeah.
You ever leave it at home and you're like, oh, what am I going to do today?
Oh, yeah.
We used to leave it at home all the time because we didn't have it. It's okay. It's okay. You can break up with your phone for a
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.